Hey, what's up, and welcome. It's the 373rd episode of the Unranked Podcast. I am Christian Humes here with Tom Caswell.
Palindrome. 373.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
There you go.
I was like, Caswell?
Lusak.
And I'm like, oh, is he referring to the Pokemon? Nope. Speaking of the Pokemon, Tom.
Ekanemelas. If it was backwards. Salamence.
Yeah, Ekanemelas.
Mega. Oh, look at that.
Salamence. Let's do it. Let's talk about Salamence.
I don't know how I feel about its mega evolution. Yeah, I mean, this is the big one, right? This is the final stage dragon evolution. That does every gen have like a dragon
yes.
trio at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the way as it should be, as it should be. It's
first
cool.
Quadrupedal dragon.
And that's
you sick. Could argue Charizard, but he doesn't stand on two legs.
He doesn't stand on four legs.
Right. Sorry. He doesn't stand on four legs, but he actually has four limbs. Like, you know, because they're the dragons where the hands are on the wings.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, the
this is the dragon.
Definitively.
Yeah.
Definitively a quadruped.
This is the most Game of Thrones ass dragon.
Let us know what you think about Salamence. Yeah, yeah. I like the color. I like the color combo. That's really solid.
Seems like something a king would ride.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it's a very traditional dragon, and I think it's solid. I think it's a huge. I wish its pre-evolutions were stronger. Like I wish the whole like trio was stronger. And like we got more of an
Salamence.
Iteration into this, but yeah, it's cool. It's got an interesting mega that I feel conflicted about. I love its Luna wing,
which regular Salamence has like when it's fully out, but the mega is like really like
Sounds
it fills good. It in. It's like a perfect crescent.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any arms, right? The mega, it looks like it doesn't have any arms. Maybe I need a better angle on it.
Yeah.
I wish it just kind of...
But it's got that armor.
Yeah, he's got like this, these like suspenders, metal suspenders.
Yeah.
This is very... Yeah,
keep in mind, so regular Salamence, right? If you look at him on his chest, he has the white stripes that were on the outside of the shell, which is that like bone. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like basically having armor built into it, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's just one of those things where, and this is something you consistently see with the mega evolutions, is like 8 out of 10 design decisions they make for most mega evolutions, I'm on board with. But then they go like a little bit too much in one direction, and they're like, "Let's just get rid of its arms. It doesn't fucking need arms." A lot of mega evolutions have that like little quirk about them. So it's a good one, but it's not perfect.
The perfect one is, and I don't see it on this page. But in Scarlet and Violet, there's a new Salamence form.
Oh,
and it is. So
is
fucking
it the
cool dude.
Is it the
Paradox Roaring Pokemon? Moon Salamence? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's technically like a different Pokemon. It's just based off of Salamence's design.
Sure. It's supposed to be like the ancestor of Salamence, though.
Gotcha.
Because they're coming.
It's a different entry, right? It's a different.
Yeah, it is. It's considered a different Pokemon. It doesn't evolve into it.
Oh, yeah, and this is a Scarlet one, too. Dude, I mean, this is sick, man.
The fucking feather wings? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And this is what I'm talking about.
And that, like, serpent tail?
It's got... This is perfect. This has...
It's honestly, got, like, one of my favorite Pokemon designs.
Yeah, it's got the Crescent Luna wing, which the Mega has. But he's still got his arms, and he looks like he'll fuck you up. Which is what I want from all of the
this is I had to share the screen for anyone watching so they can see. The shit's fucking cool.
It's cool.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. It's fucking sick. I don't know what that is. That's
some fan art.
Yeah, that's some fan art bullshit.
It does.
It does put
the mega to shame. And you know what's annoying about Scarlet and Violet is that at first I was like, Violet's the way. All the futuristic shit is cool. But then when I started seeing the Paradox Pokemon after launch, I was like, I think Scarlet has the better Paradox forms over the Paradox forms that you find in Violet.
Sure.
But I have yet to even experience that part of the game myself. Switch 2, come on, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
Really. Wolfstar in the chat says, how are we both doing? Doing well, I think. And then 2, did we all know that we are both absolutely stunning lads, looking fantastic? I appreciate that. I look like I just crawled out of bed, which is what I did. I took a nap right before.
That's very nice.
So, but I appreciate it, Wolf. And you can come see how handsome we look on the video pod at youtube.com/unrankedpodcast. No Tuna or Dan this week. We didn't even mention that. But they theoretically will both be back next week.
Well, Dan's schedule is different every week.
Yeah. So we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah.
Let's see. What
we thought we were going to have him last week, too. So.
What?
All right. Well, tell me. Give me his name origin. Let's go.
It might be a combination of Salamander and Menace, Vengeance, Vehemence, Violence, or Immense, which are all intense words.
Which,
so that's pretty cool.
By the way, I think it's so interesting because Charmander was also based on like a salamander.
Mm-hmm. I mean, running out of ideas here. But it's probably actually Violence because in Japan, this Pokemon is called Bowmander, and Bow being the Japanese word for violent, and then obviously Salamander. But you are right, Chris, about its design, and you know, you saying, oh, it looks like a king would write this. It is based on an archetypal European dragon. It may also be based on Salamander, most likely the Haida Salamander or Anderson Salamander. This is backed up by Salamence featuring 3 prominent finlets on either side of its head, which can be interpreted as external gills. These external gills are typical for many species of amphibians. Alternatively, it might take inspiration from the mythical animal of the same name, which is often conflated with dragons or treated as a dragon, as evidenced by its ability to learn numerous fire-type moves by leveling up, and its Pokedex entry describing its propensity for breathing fire. Yeah.
It's fucking so cool, dude.
Yeah. It's a cool Pokemon.
It's so cool. And I like that they gave it the fire abilities because that actually circles the square of the problem with Charizard being a dragon, but he's fire and flying. This Pokemon being dragon and flying and getting the fire moves, the fire just abilities, like Charizard can get some dragon moves. So I think that's, you know, helps fix that issue. I don't know. I mean, of course, like Dragonite is such a cool Pokemon, but this Pokemon's really fucking cool, dude.
Dragonite's only cool because it's Gen 1 and it's super powerful.
I kind of love that it's powerful and dopey looking.
Sure. Sure. But it would be cool if it looked cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
Yep.
All right. Well,
there you go. Salamence.
Salamence, you want a Pokedex entry? Give me a game. I'll give you an entry. Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. Your choice.
Rubes
it is. Salamence came about as a result of strong, long-held dream of growing wings. Oh. It is said that his powerful desire triggered a sudden mutation in his Pokemon cells, causing it to sprout its magnificent wings. You know, they write this as if there's like one person named Salamence.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's funny.
But I guess it says in the Sapphire version, it says it's long-held dream. So it sounds like maybe Bagon dreamed to have wings. And so that's what the folklore about this Pokemon is that like it was a T-Rex style like dinosaur that wished to have wings. And then it turned into a shell and hatched as a dragon, I guess. So that's pretty cool.
A lot of big.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Very good. Cool.
Very good.
Good pokes.
All right. All right, that's the show. Thanks for joining. I'm just kidding. Tom, what's happening?
What's been happening? Let's talk about anything you've got going on, because literally, like, the only thing I've been doing for the last week is playing Jedi Survivor. So we can wait to talk about that. What have you
I've
been
just
up
been
to?
Doing housework and stuff. I have family coming next week. I won't be on. Going to Disney.
Which fam?
My family is coming. So brothers and nieces.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I've just been cleaning and getting stuff ready, I guess. Watched another 5 seasons of The Big Bang Theory. I got 2 left. This show goes on for a really long time, Tom.
Yeah, it does.
Wait till I watch Young Sheldon next.
No, please.
Yeah, no, I gotta do it.
No, Chris.
And then I'm gonna come on and I'm gonna tell you about Young Sheldon. You know, I watched.
Still running or what?
Yeah, I googled it. It's got like 1 more season.
It can't
and then
be
supposedly
anymore,
they just
right?
announced a new spinoff.
Yeah, they've got that. They're doing one for HBO Max or whatever.
But we don't know what it's about yet. I can't wait to find out. I'm hoping that they'll just do the Star Wars trilogy. So it's like the original was is Sheldon. Then they do the prequels. And then I want it to be old
it's
Sheldon.
Like them as old Sheldon.
I want old Sheldon. Or you make it about the kids of Sheldon, you know? Like Sheldon's son became a Sith warrior named Kylo Ren.
Dude, I'm looking at the Young Sheldon Wikipedia page, and the title card that they used man. In the first season is the most like generic, like last minute we have 5 minutes, not even that, to create a title card. Let's throw something together. Yeah, I can't believe it. The 6th season premiered end of last year. So this kid, how old's this kid? Oh, he's 14 now, which would have made him really young when the show started coming out, because it started in 2017.
I mean, let's come on. You know, you ever watch Smart Guy?
I mean, I love Smart Guy.
That kid, that show. He's a smart guy. It's like that. It's not going to be cute. At a certain age. So you have to. It's cute and it's funny because he's a child. Once he starts to look like a man, it's not. It's just weird.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that had to be the case. But I don't know. I guess I'm going to find out. I've only got 2 seasons left.
I don't believe this. Dude, they phoned this in so much. They were like, how do we make the most amount of money without putting any effort in? We'll call it Young Sheldon. Make the title card like the most generic font, Times New Roman.
Tom, I tried watching an episode of it. It is so wild. It's so bad. It's like,
dude.
Honestly, it makes The Big Bang Theory look like Friends. It like,
I can't. Yeah, no, I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't even joke about you watching it. I can't even joke about you watching it.
Did you see Survivor last night?
No. Probably gonna watch it after this.
I really enjoy having to watch it live. I think it's like fun, but we always forget, so we always start about 6 to 8 like minutes into the episode, because like yesterday I just sat down on the couch, Therese was doing work in her office, and I start trying to figure out what to watch. I'm like, oh shit, it's 8:06. I was like, fuck. I yelled at Therese, I'm like, we gotta come watch Survivor.
Last week's was really good.
This week's is just as good, I think.
Okay, good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Didn't get around. Wednesday's just such an awkward day to like sit. I just feel it's tough. It's like, an awkward day to do that. Succession's been great this season. Man, this latest episode was a lot of fun. I've been enjoying that. You've been playing anything? You've been trying to. I feel bad because I kept saying we can play VR. We can play VR, and just has not happened.
I know we have. There's so many new games that have been announced. By the way, it's been interesting. I've seen more articles coming out and being like, actually, the PSVR is doing better than people thought, and like internally, Sony's pretty happy with it.
Okay, interesting. I mean, I completely forgot also that they have only been selling it through their own website like today. So I think you
just
can go
went
order
into
it on Amazon. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, you know, if it has the kind of development life cycle that the PSVR had, like I'm sure it'll
I think it's going to be better already from the jump. Because so what I've seen is there's, I think, 97 games that are like announced come out within like a year,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot, you know, for a VR system. That's like a ton of games to be coming out already pretty quickly. But a bunch of new games over the last week or two have been announced for us. I'm very excited about. And this month, Tom, in May, not this month, but this upcoming month, Walkabout Mini Golf. I'm so fucking. Tom, we're gonna have 16 courses of mini golf we can play.
Oh, I'm so.
I told Alex about this, and he was like, "Oh, really?" He was like, "Like you could hear him, be like, maybe I don't need a Steam Deck. Maybe I want PSVR."
Oh no, no! Don't do that. Don't sell him down a river. You'll get way more use long term out of the Steam Deck.
I don't know. I feel like now with that new Asus system, you might even.
Oh well, like, sure.
That Steam Deck's going to need to update again soon.
Sure. I mean, I'm talking about just like a handheld gaming PC. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how Asus's thing does. They are a legitimate competitor to Steam Deck.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I'm curious as to how much of an effect they can have in the market. I'm curious.
I think it'll be big for people that have stuff on like Epic Games Store, Windows only. Because I don't think most people are gonna. I still have fucking haven't installed Windows on my Steam Deck. So I'm just. No. I'm like, I want this to be an easy experience.
Yeah. Even the workarounds for getting like Epic Games stuff installed.
Yes.
Like getting it installed via SteamOS is infinitely more easier and user friendly than like running Windows, and that's my one big thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because. I was going to say, Asus. So for people that don't know, Asus ROG, Republic of Gamers is what that stands for, is making this thing called the Ally. I think we might have talked about it recently on the podcast. It is essentially their version of the Steam Deck. But the interesting thing is that, yeah, it is running on hardware that, for all intents and purposes, is twice as powerful as the Steam Deck, but seems to be coming in at a similarly competitive at a competitive price. The rumor is that the like most powerful one with this new Z1 Ultra AMD processor is going to only be $100 with a terabyte of storage. Is going to be $100 more than the terabyte Steam Deck, but it's going to be.
They have a terabyte Steam Deck now.
They've
it was 512.
Oh, 512. Yes, it was 512. So maybe the Asus is only 512. As well, we don't have pricing, we don't like know the different models, we just know it has this AMD Z1 chip and then this Z1 Extreme. And it's interesting because, yeah, it is running Windows, which historically on these devices has not been great, but internal documents or an internal presentation from Microsoft kind of came out. I don't know if it was them sharing it themselves or if it just leaked, but at a recent hackathon at the company, a team was like, we need to build a version of Windows that's designed for these portable gaming units because this market is expanding. So there is like a little
demo.
That'll
be so big for Xbox. That'll basically turn into just handheld Xboxes.
Right. You got to imagine it'll at some point, like they'll kind of sync up and it'll be like an overhaul of Xbox UI.
Dude. Every time I think about the long game, I just think about what an advantage Microsoft has over both Nintendo and Sony because of cloud computing and stuff like this.
Well, that's
like,
what the
you
CMA
can just
thought
buy...
because they blocked the Activision deal and they said it was all about cloud computing.
And I think, I think like, Microsoft doesn't need to make a handheld. The industry will make a Microsoft handheld. 100%. They just have to make sure Windows can do it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, essentially, if you have, if they can. If Microsoft can build a version of Windows that runs, you know, plays nice with these machines, you have the portable Xbox right there with Game Pass. Like, are you kidding me? Like that?
Yeah,
they've got to be thinking.
I mean, if
that
happens,
about that because
then I'm gonna have a fucking portable Xbox, a portable Steam Deck. I mean, I just won't need the portable. I just wouldn't have a Steam Deck anymore. You know. Unless nice with the Steam Deck.
Well,
too,
that's
yeah.
the thing is like if they released a Windows OS version that ran nice on Steam Deck, I would just probably install Windows. But yeah, you've got to imagine because they are probably looking at every avenue because as well as Game Pass is doing, I don't think it has been the like I mean that their last revenue for gaming was pretty bleak. The last quarter. for gaming revenue at Microsoft that they just announced numbers yesterday was like not good, like hardware down 30%, things like
that.
Yeah,
hardware is down 30%. However, they did say it was due to constraints, which is weird because I'm pretty sure they're available, but maybe it was the X's, because people say the S's are like overly abundant in availability. And I think maybe the S's sold really well in the like early pandemic, and now they probably need to pivot to just making more X's is what it sounds like. But that also could be bullshit. That could be total bullshit.
Okay, so gaming revenue is up slightly. It was just hardware that took a big hit.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah, overall Xbox's gaming revenue is, oh. Oh, okay.
Was Xbox it like down hardware 4%? Down
30%. Xbox content and services up 3%. So that's 3%. Like Game Pass. Okay. So overall, Xbox's gaming revenue is down 4%.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's
we're all making up numbers here. But yeah, right, 4% was there somewhere. But you, if they can partner, and the rumor has been that Asus is their big selling point is going to be native gamepad. Like when they start marketing this thing properly, they're going to push and have a marketing push with Microsoft. I wouldn't be surprised if you like buy a handheld, you get like 3 months.
Maybe this is why the Xbox like cloud streaming deck thing went away, because maybe they're just going to get this shit onto smart TVs and get this shit onto handheld devices, so you can play locally and stream. Because remember, like, I think they said internally that they canceled the Microsoft Puck, the streaming Puck. Why would they cancel that?
So, well, because they were making, initially what they were planning was to do a more like Apple TV style like set top box with like some actual like CPU power behind it, and then they basically said that iteration of the device was they were scrapping that. So like people were starting to think like, oh, they'll do a stick or something like that. But maybe at this point they're looking at the market and looking at the number of TVs that are out there that actually just can support native apps and thinking like it would be it would just be easier to do it that way. So we'll see. It's interesting, but I completely agree with you. They are poised and in a much.
It's like install this Xbox app on your Apple TV. Like,
I mean, it would be sick. That would be sick. And the quality, I use GeForce now like all the time. And if they can start getting, you know, it on Apple TV and like, you know, we shall see. It's going to be interesting.
Just moving my camera.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, because I'm sitting really far back.
Like young Sheldon, that's how he sits.
Is it?
I have no idea.
Something that Sheldon says a lot in The Big Bang Theory is, he says, that's my spot.
What does the what? Like his chair or whatever?
Yeah, he has a spot in the chair that's his spot. No one else can sit there.
Amazing.
It's really something, Tom.
It's really something. You know what else is really something?
I don't. Tell me about it.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor. It's something, man.
Yeah.
It's a good something. Great video game.
You like it better or worse than Fallen Order?
Way more than
Fallen Order. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it addresses a lot of the issue. It has some of the same problems as Fallen Order. I don't think the combat is as tight as it could be. It takes a bit of getting used to. Once you get used to it, it feels fine. But Cal does kind of feel loose, just like he kind of did in the first game with movement. There's no canceling when you're attacking, right? So if you attack and someone comes at you with a move and you want to parry, like you're kind of up shit creek. And then it has a bunch of technical issues. I was playing before the Day Zero patch. I was texting. I had numerous crashes. I had puzzles where the prompt wasn't loading, things like that. There has been a Day One patch. I don't know if I would have had those problems fixed, but I'm still getting a lot of the visual quirks, frame rate dips and things like that. Where
One patch you don't have, right? That's not till Friday. No,
it's installed. It came out Tuesday or something like that. So it's going to have issues. I hear the version on PC is like a complete disaster, as every console port has been.
Yeah.
So if you are planning on picking it up and you want to pick it up at launch, if you can pick it up on console, I think that's going to be the best way to play it. If you're on PC, maybe wait. That being said, though, everything else is spectacular. And I was high on this game when I started playing it and I was texting you. And then I texted you the other day. I was like, I just rolled credits. The first half of the game is really strong and enjoyable and like very cool. The second half, like it just picks up from there. And then like the last third is light skips into amazing. This game is, yeah, it feels like the Empire Strikes Back, yeah, of this trilogy, whereas Fallen Order felt like, oh, this is a great story, very self-contained. I don't necessarily need to see what happens next with these characters. The moment I rolled credits, I was like, I need the next game immediately.
Hell yeah.
Like, I need to play a new game.
Well, not immediately. I think long enough so that it won't be buggy when it comes out, because I was hoping that would be this game. I gotta tell you, I'm really annoyed hearing this talk.
It's the game is so good that when those issues pop up, that as long as it's not a game crash, hopefully the game crashing has been fixed by the patch. I have not had a crash since the patch. But, you know, the game is so good that it kind of completely, I just don't care. Like, I just don't care. What I love about the game is the story. Whereas Fallen Order was a great story, it was kind of a well-trod story of, oh, it's a Jedi in hiding and they don't know whether they should like bring back the Order and things like that. And then on top of that, we also knew that Cal could never do that. That was the premise of the game. It's like, oh, he has a holocron and it has the names of all these young Jedi. Maybe we could rebuild the Order with this, but we know from canon that that cannot happen. So it restricted the story and what it could be. Well, with this game, they find a really smart way to kind of be able to decouple it from the canon. It is obviously canon, but the adventure that they go on, the MacGuffin.
When does it take place again?
5 years after Fallen Order, so the same year as the Obi-Wan Disney Plus show.
Okay.
So we are like dead halfway, right, between the end of Revenge of the Sith and the beginning of A New Hope.
Yeah.
But the story just leaves so much more room for mystery, and you just have no idea how it's going to pan out, and it really pans out in surprising ways. And it connects the High Republic, which we have only, you know, read in books and comics up until this point. And what it introduces there is really cool. And those characters are, I think that the characters from that timeline that are introduced are not necessarily inherently interesting, but what they mean to Cal and the crew and how they emotionally affect.
How would any of those people be alive? Isn't that hundreds of years ago? I guess it's all like ancient ass people.
So one of them has been like kind of chilling in a back to tank. For
250 years.
Yeah, like 250 years.
Okay.
And then the other one is a Gendai, which is the tentacle race from Genndy Tartakovsky's Clone Wars series that was introduced there.
Okay.
They live for like millennia. They're like near immortal beings.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
And so that's how that works. Don't want to kind of, you know, get too into like the story and stuff, but they're cool characters, they're interesting, but kind of what they mean to Cal kind of seeing elements of himself in those characters is really interesting. And there is a core philosophy or like pillar of what Star Wars is when it comes to the temptation of the dark side, the balance between light and dark, and are the tenets of the Jedi really the way? Are we meant to repress our emotions? What does it mean to give in to the power of the dark side? What does it mean to hold on to things that like traditionally Jedi would say to let go. All of that stuff that the movies and every bit of Star Wars has touched on in various ways, I think this game does it better than any of them.
Cool.
I cannot wait for people to play it because I am dying to talk to people about this fucking game. And I have like very few people to talk to at the moment, but I think people are really going to love it. And what's cool about this game is one of the big complaints, you know, cosmetics and everything, right? The ways you can customize Cal, lightsabers, like that's all ramped up. But one of the cool things about this game is rather than have you like planet hop for every mission, you have one massive planet. There are other planets that you go to, but more often than not, you are returning to this one kind of impossibly big planet, it feels like, comparative to everything else, that has different biomes. So you start and like it's kind of like a rocky desert area, and then there's a forest area, there's a volcanic area, there is a swamp area, a misty area. And so that's cool. We get to see, we kind of rarely see that in Star Wars. Usually it's like, this is the ice planet.
It's not as fun, though.
It's what, to have a planet?
It's good to have
biomes.
Some so that you can have more things like happen on a specific planet.
Yeah.
I mean, you could arguably like the Naboo is much more of just a traditional like temperate climate planet, you know?
Yeah.
But it has like a lot of different stuff going on. But like that's what makes it unique, right? Because most of the time it's like, how many times should we? People complain like we spend too much time at like a planet or two.
Tatooine.
and then it's like, okay, well then let's not do that. And then it's like, well, why is every planet just one thing? And it's like, well, because if you use the same fucking planet over and over, so it's just, it's easier to be like, oh, I'm looking at a desert, I know where I am. I'm looking at ice, I know where, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's you know,
you can't have it both ways.
Well, I think that this game strikes a good balance between like, yeah, it has one planet with multiple biomes, but then we have a couple of other things. And you know, in the later game is kind of when we start seeing the new stuff, and the new stuff is genuinely like different and cool.
Are there no returning planets from the original?
No.
That's too bad. I was hoping to see the Wookiees.
No Kashyyyk.
All six new planets? Are none of them places you've seen in Star Wars?
No, you've seen them in Star Wars. Like, the game starts on Coruscant.
Oh, okay. Cool. So Coruscant's one of them. Nice.
Yeah, Coruscant is one of
them. I always like going there.
Yeah, it's cool, especially what we see of Coruscant, because it's the under, like, it's literally under the top layer.
Okay, so it's like Star Wars 1313 was supposed to be.
Yeah, the opening of the game is very much like that, which is really cool.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome.
So we do have Coruscant. You go to Jedha. Jedha has a big part. And then, the latest stuff, like, I don't want to spoil for people.
Cool.
And the new stances you get, the blaster and crossguard, are actually, once I equipped them, I kind of didn't go back to using any other. Like,
oh, no.
I mean, I would sometimes utilize double-sided lightsaber, but
that's the one.
More often than not, I found the heavy hitting, like, I'm just kind of like a heavy sword guy in RPG games, so you know, that just spoke to me more. And then I really do think when people get their hands on the blaster, like, everyone is always going to have the blaster equipped. Yeah. It just is so handy to have. You have the speed of the traditional lightsaber with the range of the blaster. The one I'm disappointed in is the dual wielding, which has been expanded from just an attack that the double-sided had to a full moveset. Mainly because, A, it is like the least damage-dealing weapon style. But doesn't have a heavy attack. Instead, when you press on, I was playing on PS5, so triangle, you know, that's your force heavy ability, right? That you uses the force meter. Instead of that, when you dual wield and you press triangle, Cal will float the two halves in his hands with the force, And any attack that incomes, he automatically parries and does a counter attack. And he uses the meter all up in one. It is cool, but because all of the other moves have a heavy triangle, anytime I equip the jewel wield, instinctively I was trying to do a heavy attack, and he kept going like this, and I'm like, no, that's not what I want to do. So I personally,
that's
like,
good though, because otherwise too much. If they all operated the exact same way, then it's just aesthetic, and who cares?
I'm sure there are people out there who are like, dual wield is the way to go for me, and that's really cool. You can make Cal, you can customize him, not just aesthetically, but when it comes to combat and gameplay, you can kind of make him how you would want to play as a Jedi, which is really cool. I mean, that's about top level everything. People should be really excited about, about this game. Do you have any questions about anything else?
No, I just I want to play it. I got 5 hours left. I don't know what time it actually unlocks, but
the new characters are fantastic. Like the returning characters are really good, and I think even stronger than they were in the first game.
My boy BD1.
Great. You can customize him way more than you can in Fallen Order 2. You get different parts. You can, if you get the deluxe edition, you can basically give him the coloring and parts of R2-D2.
Cool.
Wolf Slur in chat says, Tom, important question, ponchos. There are no ponchos in the game. You have a wide variety of jackets.
Hated the poncho, dude.
Yeah, everyone hates the ponchos. You have jackets, shirts, and pants. The cool thing is again with the deluxe edition, if you get the deluxe edition, it comes with that R2-D2 parts for BD1.
I got the special whatever it is edition.
Then you'll also have Luke's like yellow jacket and black shirt
I saw
from
that. Yeah.
Episode 4. But the cool thing is each of the different garments have different colorways. So you have Luke's jacket, but you can get it. Like there's one, and it's not just the color, it's like the design of it.
Cool.
So there's one that I rocked for a bit that was that Luke jacket, but it was an electric blue color and it had like a silver collar.
That's dope.
It is really dope.
That is very cool.
But the new character is great. Bo Dacuna is the main kind of new character who has been working with Cal for a couple of years, seemingly in between the two games. And he is very much like a kind of rogue Han Solo type. He has a daughter who he's trying to like protect and all this stuff. He is fantastic. And at first just starts like as a fun character, but there's a lot going on with him and his story. And I think ultimately when the dust settles and people start beating this game and can talk about like the story and characters, like he is going to be probably one of the first things that people talk about. And then you've got Turgle, if you've been seeing online, is the new, voiced by the guy that plays Raz in Psychonauts and does the Invader Zim voices.
Little frog guy.
There's a bunch of really fun aliens on Kobo, that the main planet that you can continuously chat with, and they're in the cantina and they can point out things in the world to go find. It's great game. People are gonna love it. Hopefully it becomes more stable very quickly. But they never fixed Fallen Order really. So we shall see.
I mean, that game ran great on my Scorpio or my Xbox Series X, wherever I played it. It ran great at that point, but I played it
much later,
like 2 or 3 years after it came out. I think I may have played it on my Series X, to be honest.
Maybe, and then it's gonna run great, but
It's like, it's had like a couple years of patches and it's on a console that's so much more powerful than
the base Xbox.
I think that is actually where I played it. I'm excited, and there'll be a new Xbox in a year and a half if it doesn't run well. I'll play it again.
I'll use
Xbox
run
Series 2.
It'll run fine.
Xbox Series X Pro.
Bring back Xbox 720. That's what I say.
Oh yeah, I think we're gonna be getting half-step consoles. Yeah. Holiday 2024.
I initially thought that we wouldn't, but we're already seeing that there are just like so many advancements coming, especially with like things like Unreal Engine 5 and like storage as well. Like storage is like almost like the main thing, right?
If PSVR is doing well at that time and still like I'm playing and using it a bunch, I'll probably want to upgrade my PlayStation just to get even better performance out of VR games. Because, you know, games could then that, let's say, run 90, get up to 120, or they could just add better visuals. Or, like, I might be actually compelled to do it for that reason. But I don't feel like these consoles are really taking advantage of the power yet. I still, like, so many games are still fucking cross-generation.
Well, this one is not. Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind, true. Is that it's I'm not very running excited on previous about that. Hardware. But it is, it's still, I mean, the...
And it's still buggy as fuck.
Yeah, I mean the big thing is that games are only just now starting to kind of develop on next gen engines, and that's really where they're going to be able to take access to the hardware, because there are tools to actually do so. You know, like there are so many points, even though this game only runs on PS5, Xbox Series X, the amount of times you get to a crack in the wall and you have to shimmy through. Like, you're doing that constantly in Survivor. So even though it is next generation, it still has a lot of the stuff that was promised that if you get a game on PS5, like, this is what it can do. You're not going to be shimmying between wall cracks. And lo and behold, it's 2023 and we're still shimmying.
I think that's because of PC more than anything, though, right?
Well, it's probably, and it's probably because it's like Unreal Engine. You know, Unreal Engine 4 and all these things, like, sure. I
kind of wish this could have been made on 5, but the sequel
the next game they said they would, like, oh, they okay. said, like, if we make a third one, like, it's going to be on UE5. It wouldn't make any sense to not, but we might get it real quick because they made this thing in 3 years, and there's an interesting Jason Schreier did an interview about like how this team has like worked remotely like the whole time, and like, I mean, considering the scope of it, and, you know, I know it does have issues, but Fallen Order had issues, and, you know.
Cool. I'm very excited to play. I got to download it, which for me is not a problem. If you have, like, data caps or something, it fucking sucks, though.
150 gigs. When I saw that, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, but you have fiber, right?
Yeah, it didn't take. Yeah. It took, like, an hour or whatever, but
I have that, you know, I got the expansion memory for my PS5. I installed that. It's so easy. Like, come on, it's fine. I wish the Xbox had just used M2 cards for expansion. They did recently drop the price, though. You can get it cheaper finally because Western Digital put out a card now too.
Yeah, now there's another company is making
but
them.
It's still now, instead of, you know, 100% too much money, now it's only 50% too much money. It's like, okay, cool. You get the cost of a 1 terabyte card, like, that you would get for 2 terabytes on the PlayStation. It's like, that's still not great.
No. And sometimes with the, like, PlayStation ones, there'll be crazy sales. I think Wario, like, posted a thing that was like a 4 terabyte one for like 200 something bucks, which is right now like a crazy deal.
I think I paid less than 80
terabyte.
Bucks for my terabyte.
For your terabyte.
Which was like great.
That's, yeah.
I remember I got it on a sale. I think it was like $69 for a terabyte, which it's awesome. And having that, I got to tell you, having the extra terabyte on both the Xbox and the PlayStation, I've yet to like really have to manage my data. So that's been pretty good. Having to not really delete stuff has been nice to do.
And the other thing, because I had to delete stuff for the first time, like maybe a month ago on my PlayStation. I think when I was installing PSVR games, I had run out of
space. That was why I bought it, because I was like, I'm just going to get it, because I'm going to get it at some point.
Yeah.
And I have 28 PSVR games that I bought.
But it's a lot easier, even if you do have to start deleting stuff, when you have 2 terabytes of content, like, it becomes much easier to pick and choose. Whereas with 1 terabyte, you're like, oh, there's this game that I kind of like dip in and out, you know, like you have to start sacrificing those. Whereas with the 2 terabyte one, even though I did have to start deleting stuff, I was looking at stuff and I was like, I'm not playing this. I'm not playing Spider-Man Miles Morales anytime soon. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So Jedi Survivor, I can't wait to hear what people think. Definitely write in if you're playing for next week. I would love to do a spoiler discussion at some point, because I think there's a lot to talk about.
Well, I'll be playing it as much as I can, but I'll be doing stuff a lot next week. But I am gonna play a lot tomorrow for that reason.
Beautiful.
I played We Were Here with Alex the other day again.
The new one, or
like, yeah,
the
OG? We Were Here Forever. Okay. Well, it came out in May on PC. It took them until January to port it, which is annoying, because they were like, oh, it'll release and shortly after it'll come on console. And then every month they're like, it's coming soon. Finally came out. It's very good. I love this game. I wish it was in VR, though. Like, I'm playing this game and I'm like,
yeah, it feels very VR.
I'm like, God, these puzzle games like this would be unbelievable. Tom, the first like co-op, like escape room or something like this that we can do on PSVR, we have to get it. Because that's definitely going to come, because there are so many of them on PC.
On escape room? Yeah. For sure.
That shit would be so much fucking fun to do. I mean, honestly, that's the kind of thing that VR needs. It's like a creator. VR needs like a creator space, like a Fortnite creative mode style thing. Because then if people had the tools, you know, people would just be making things like escape rooms and like physics playgrounds and games and shit that you could just do. I hope that comes at some point, because that would be a lot of fun. If not, I'll probably end up getting a PC VR system at some point, because shit's so good, Tom. You want to talk about news?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Oh, wait. I saw the Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, please tell me about it.
You know, the gore got talked up quite a bit about this movie, from what I was told. I went with Matt and our buddy Glenn, who used to work with us at G4. And I gotta tell you, after seeing Terrifier 2, it's like after eating that hot chip, Tom. Even if I know I'm like not going to enjoy something for spice, now I'm just like, whatever, it's fine. Like, I'll never experience anything that bad again. I know I'll survive. Like, it's whatever. So I'm watching this movie and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, that's not that bad. Oh, tearing, ripping their like stomach open with their bare hands. Okay.
It's funny because, like, for me, like, gore has never been necessarily like a problem.
Okay, Tom. Well, I have a movie for you. It's called Tom. Here's what I would really like to do for you. Here's what I think we should do. I would like to do a watch along with you. We'll watch Terrifier 2 together over Zoom, and you'll just stream it. But obviously, you can't stream the movie, so we'll just be streaming our reactions.
If it's an Amazon Prime thing, we could do a watch along or whatever.
They do
watch parties on Twitch or whatever.
Yeah. I think we should do this. Maybe. I think it would be a wild thing. And we can take a shot of something every time someone gets killed. Maybe. That might be tough, actually.
A nug.
That a might nugget. Be. Yeah. Oh, God. A nugget.
Yeah, we would get fucked up.
Oh, no, thanks. I got in news, speaking of Evil Dead Rise, I got Therese and AMC A-list accounts. There's a lot of movies coming out we want to see. We're going to go see Renfield tomorrow, that Nicolas Cage Dracula movie, which looks hilarious. So now because you can do three movies a week on A-list, Tom, when I'm going to see things she doesn't want to see, like I went with Matt yesterday, I just got the seat next to me on hers as well. So I just had to open
had an empty
extra
seat.
Luxury seat.
Son of a bitch. You're a son of a bitch.
I'm going to do this every time I go, because there are plenty of movies I'll go see with Matt and John that Therese has no interest in. So now I'm just going to always have that extra seat there. So stupid.
That's so funny. News for the week. So Yeah, I mean, the big one being that the UK board, the one that Microsoft kind of was pinning its hopes on, pushing the Activision deal through, has blocked it. It's not necessarily the end, but it is the biggest blow so far. And, you know, honestly, another thing that's happened in this long kind of story that I'm like, this thing might not actually happen.
Yeah, I'm in the same position, which then makes me wonder, do they go acquire another big thing, or do they go and just invest in a handful of smaller studios?
I think that they...
Or do they try to buy a chunk of Activision?
I mean, I think they want the whole kit and caboodle. And I think the other thing is, and I don't know legally how this works, like if this deal doesn't go through, like what their options are in the future, but could there be a situation where they do another deal in a couple of years down the road? Maybe. I don't know. I think they'd probably want to like pump the brakes a little bit if this deal didn't go through.
Yeah, but they are also pinning a lot of future projections on this, right? Like this is the way that saw forward
both
with
of
their
them,
content.
Both companies, yeah.
So they clearly think there's a need for an even bigger library of IP that they have right now and customer base. So like they're going to have to still solve that problem. They're not going to just say, oh, didn't work out. Back to the old drawing board.
I mean, maybe they'd go... they definitely will continue to buy companies. The cadence, sure. The size, that's really hard to kind of navigate.
I honestly think that EA is a better company for them to own, only because of the Game Pass service model is like the thing that sports games actually should have.
You wouldn't even need to have, because EA Play is like a part of Game Pass. You wouldn't even need to, you would just be able to roll it under.
It's like maybe those games should just exist on a service model.
But the thing is like, it's interesting.
And then get Titanfall back.
Yeah, Titanfall 3, that'll solve everyone's problems.
Halo's not doing well. Halo X Titanfall Battle Royale, Tom.
Oh my god.
Where are those games?
Which ones?
Why do we only get like a Marvel versus Capcom and like a Street Fighter versus Tekken? Where is like Halo X fucking Titanfall? Sure. Where is like fucking Fortnite X Fall Guys? Like fucking mash up
fair,
a bunch of weird
kind
ass
of
games.
Build, you can kind of build Fall Guys in Fortnite now. Sure. That's the plan there. Yeah, that's interesting. What way forward do they go? Who would they go for next?
Because they can't. They clearly, like, this is such a massive purchase that they must have looked at it and were like, our plans don't work without fulfilling this very large need. So they can't just... It's not like you could totally pivot. You have to do something.
Let me pull up a quote, because Phil Spencer apparently addressed like that the team and was like, there is a future without, like, there is a way forward without Activision.
Sure. They must have a contingency. I'm just like, I'm unsure of what it is. Do they finally do the thing that every gamers love to talk about, which is go and buy like a Sega? Like, what do they go after?
Yeah, but then like, but they need, if they're trying to fill a void left by Activision, they need Sega, they need Square, they need Ubi, you know, they need all these things. So let's talk about what happened, and then we'll bring up what Phil Spencer said, because it ties into what you're going on here, of like having a need for this. So this is from Rebecca Valentine over at IGN. It's titled "Why Cloud Gaming, Not Call of Duty, Might Kill the Microsoft Activision Merger." So after weeks of speculation and rumor that the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, would ultimately approve the $69 billion acquisition, this morning's ruling against the deal came as a surprise to many. But what may have been even more surprising was the object of the CMA's ire, not Call of Duty as many expected, but cloud gaming. Call of Duty and the possibility that Microsoft might make it Xbox exclusive upon a successful acquisition has been at the center of the merger discussion since the deal was first announced. And while the gaming giant has repeatedly promised Call of Duty to its console and PC platform rivals enough to assuage the CMA's console market concerns, fears about Xbox's domination of the emerging cloud market have continued simmering in the background. basically this goes on to say that Xbox has such a foothold in the streaming space currently, and because Stadia failed, and that there isn't like a huge company really kind of stepping up to the plate to take on Microsoft in the space, it's actually, it says, the CMA specifically and repeatedly cites Google Stadia, which shut down just 1 month before the findings were released, as an example. Stadia, the CMA says, struggled for a number of reasons, but one of its main failings was a dearth of unique and new content, which is true, and that lack of content is attributable in no small part due to developer struggles to port games to Linux. So, and then on top of that, Microsoft has both Xbox Cloud Gaming and Azure technology that gives it both a short-term and a longer-term solution to host cloud gaming. So apparently their worries are like, we're not necessarily worried about Call of Duty not being on PlayStation. We're worried about like the possibility for people to compete with you in the cloud space, because we already have an example of a company that failed in that area because it did not have any content,
right?
Which is super interesting. It's also maybe not an entirely, I mean, this is one of the many problems with all of these people like voting on this stuff. They don't kind of understand the market fully, nor do they understand gaming or whatever.
Sure. The industry.
Maybe this just pushes Microsoft to say, okay, Game Pass, it's on PlayStation. Streaming, well, at the very least. Like an app that you'll be able to download.
I think
like
they would say that today if they could. I doubt Sony allows it.
Well, that is the other thing. Yes.
I think there's nothing stopping that this minute if Sony would allow it.
Phil Spencer's
same for Nintendo.
Jim Ryan, be like, Jim, please.
You know, like Nintendo, right. if the Switch allowed you to like play fucking stream, even just stream Game Pass games, that would be happening.
Sure.
Like that's not up to them. So that's the question. Is there gonna, and they can't just build new dev studios. Like it takes so much extra time, yeah. And they don't have that. And at this point for next gen games, like, you better be buying studios that are able to turn out next-gen games in under 4 years, or whatever you're buying these studios for might not even hit until the next console.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
So
yeah.
So it's I'm very curious. Very curious. I was very surprised by that news.
Yeah.
It's been a weird week for news. Tucker Carlson got fired. That was this week.
Don Lemon got fired.
Crazy, that was the same day.
Yeah, same.
Jerry Springer died.
Yeah. What a week.
It's been a wild week for news.
So this doesn't, you know, to clarify, this doesn't mean the deal is done. They can appeal this decision. There can be caveats. It can still go through, but this is a really big blow because they were kind of relying, they've been having problems in all the countries that are participating in ruling on this. The CMA was going to be the first to really make a decision, and yeah, that they were going to hope, they were hoping to use that as leverage to be like, come on, the UK let us do it, like you let us do it. And now there's precedent, and legally when there's precedent, like it becomes so much more difficult to go against that. So needless to say, whether this ultimately happens or not, it is not happening for a long time. This deal was meant to go through, like they were aiming for last summer.
Yeah, they should have owned it by now.
I'll be surprised if like summer 2024 was still, like, I bet you was still here in a year's time.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, so we shall see. But spinning off of that, you know, talking about like, well, what does this mean for like the future of Xbox and gaming and stuff at Microsoft? A new report from Bloomberg details how Microsoft is describing the deal internally to staff after UK regulators potentially handed it a hammer blow this past week. let's see, Bloomberg source claims it's Bloomberg in the year 2077.
No, it's Bloomberg. It's Bloomberg, but Gen Borg. Z kids are also getting wasted while he reads it.
Oh, there you go. Bloomberg's source claims that Spencer called an all-hands meeting, describing how President Brad Smith was working on a response to the regulatory ruling into the early hours of the night, noting the other executive leaders were also working on getting the deal closed. Spencer reportedly said that while Activision accelerates the Xbox vision, it isn't the entirety of the Xbox vision. Spencer reportedly emphasized that Xbox's strategy will move ahead, even if things do go south with the Activision acquisition. Microsoft reportedly declined to comment on the meeting. So, I mean, look, internally, when shit like this happens, like, you have to, like, rally the troops and, like, yeah, be like, everything's fine, like, until it's not and people start losing their jobs.
Oh, I worked at G4. I know.
You were texting me, like, the couple of weeks before. You're like, yeah, it's fine. We just had to shut down a couple of things.
Well, no, but like... here's the crazy thing, though, is, like, there were basically two people in charge of the company. There was the guy who was in charge of the network who, yeah, like, was under that impression, and then there was the guy who's actually in charge of Comcast who was like, no.
No, sorry.
They were about to hire Golden Boy. Like, he was supposed to sign.
I thought he was already doing stuff.
No, he was like a free contract. He was going to be a full-time employee the next day. He was supposed to be signing papers. So that tells you, like, how much, like, one hand was not talking to the other hand.
Yeah, I mean, that,
because, like, because that's one of those things you hear, like, oh, well, then of course, like, they're gonna be around for a while if they're signing year-long agreements with talent. Yeah. Like, what?
No, at least for a year. Yeah.
Fuck. We had a brand new show we were supposed to be making with the fucking people from Mr. Beast. We were going to be making a game show, really? For one of them. Yes, that was going to be the third show I was going to be producing, was a game show for Carl from Mr. Beast. Like,
oh, Carl Jacobs, gotcha. I mean, that would have probably done very well.
It was going
to
be
a real
great.
Shame. It's a real shame you guys didn't get to make that. Because,
I know. I was so bummed about. I was like very pumped for that.
It's one of these things where it's like, okay, you're bringing back G4. You got to give it time. You can't give it like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
But the problem is we live in this climate where company, if they don't see an immediate return on their investment, like, it's,
and there's
game over.
There's more to it, because there's that, sure, whole, they had that whole esports channel for like the Philadelphia Flyers or whatever, and when that went away, all of those like all of those people from Spectacore from Comcast became G4 employees. They basically turned that into G4. So it was kind of like, oh, we have this much runway. This channel has failed, but we can just pivot it and try and see if we can make G4 work. And then that clock ran out too fast, yeah, apparently.
Well,
people just playing fast and loose out here, Tom.
No, trust me. Yes, they're very fast and loose. Speaking of fast, we are going to be getting Armored Core 6 sooner rather than later from Software people. Are you excited about Armored Core 6? Did you play these games?
I played Armored Core with Alex, I think. It was,
oh,
on,
really?
The original Xbox, I believe.
Yes, it
I
would
think
have
it
been
had a
PS2
live game
era.
Oh,
okay.
If not, then the one I played with him was on the 360. But
sure.
But I think it was on the original Xbox. I mean, I love mechs, man.
Yeah. Did you see the gameplay trailer for this?
Dude, it looks great.
Okay, cool.
It looks great. You ever watch any of the Gundams?
No, but I hear the new one on Netflix is really good.
That's what Witch I was going to say. Gundam
West,
yeah,
the
from
Witch
Mercury.
Of the West, something.
Witch from Mercury.
Witch from Mercury.
Dude, it's really
now,
good.
Here's the
really
question.
Good.
Can I watch this and not have watched any other Gundam?
Most of them are not connected.
Yeah.
A lot of them, it's basically like an anthology series.
Okay.
And I believe that they're not even all the same timeline, like, because it's almost like Transformers, where it's like, oh, this one happened this many hundred years ago, or this one happened really far in the future, or this one's not even on Earth. You know, it's like, okay, you could kind of maybe like connect them all, but it is sort of like Zelda, where it's mostly standalones, and then some of them have like follow-up movies or maybe a follow-up series. But like Gundam Wing is completely self-contained. There's the one thing in the movie, and then like, it's not really a part of
Gundam
any of
Wing
others.
Is like the biggest, like the most famous one, right?
Maybe with like Americans, because it was the one that was on Toonami first. But
gotcha.
The original Gundams were like more important and I think hold up better. Gundam Wing. The thing about Gundam Wing is that it's the Power Rangers of the Gundam series.
Well, speaking my language.
Dude, it's really good, but it's also like the high school Gundam Wing. So like they're like really young. It's like, it's almost like My Gundam Academy a little
bit
at the start.
Holy shit, there are so many iterations of Gundam.
But that's
Holy
the thing,
cow.
You don't have to watch them all. And some of them are hot garbo and like weird, and I don't think they're good. Like some of them get way out there. And then some of them are like a little too grounded, which why I liked Gundam Wings. It sort of strikes that balance between like, we're doing some real dumb shit here. We already have, fighting giant robots. Like we're really kind of stretching the imagination. And others
is on Netflix, right? I can watch this Wicked Witch of the West on Netflix.
Gundam Wing, the Wicked Witch of the West.
But I don't need to.
You don't need to.
Like,
know.
I can watch anything else.
Yeah.
I can just watch this.
This is what the majority of Gundam is. It's very Star Wars in this way, in that the majority of Gundam is the Earth versus space.
Yes.
Sometimes it's different space colonies fighting each other, but a lot of it is like Earth versus the space colonies. Sometimes there's inner fighting on Earth, but it is very much and then Mars has been colonized as well, but that's like a newer colony. So it's like the old space colonies now are like the US, and it's like, this is the new colonies on Mars. It's weird, man, but it's good. It's dope.
Well, you can live out your Gundam fantasies with Armored Core 6. So yes. There is a gameplay trailer. It's coming out August 25th. Chris, did you see the special edition for this game?
No, I didn't. Now I gotta Google it.
Google like $450 special edition. Armored Core 6.
$229. Oh, nice.
So
it's like Gunpla.
So there is. Are you looking at the one that's just the mech, or are you looking at the one that's the mech in the carrier?
No, I just see a mech on a platform. I just see figurine. Okay, so I should keep looking.
There's a premium.
Oh
edition.
My god!
Yeah,
dude, how big is that?
It's I think it's like 30 centimeters tall.
Jesus,
32 centimeters tall. So it's like a foot tall. It's like this, well, we can't see, but so they have a special edition, which is the mech, and then they have the premium edition, which is $450, which is the mech in, look, here's the thing, mech is cool, but I think a mech is at its coolest when it's in a carrier with catwalks everywhere and people doing maintenance on it, right before it's about to, like, ship out. I think that's when the mech is at its coolest. And so this is what that is. That is so sick.
Like in Pacific Rim when they get dropped off by the helicopters and shit,
dude. Fucks, dude. That movie is so fucking good. Uprising is not.
It's not. I still enjoyed watching it.
It's fine.
But it is not the same.
No. But... Dude,
the original, but part of that is like how much like practical effect work is done in the original, which is like,
oh yeah,
almost far too much is practical effects.
They actually got some kaiju. They actually opened a rift in space.
They made some gigantic like kaiju models for certain things though, which is why it looks like
as good as it does.
It's really good. Oh man, like the scene where they're like in the head and it gets ripped open at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was practical. They made the head and like they were in it, and it was on one of those like earthquake platforms. So it's like fucking just like it's on this like crane thing and it's just shaking around and like rips up. Dude, it's so fucking cool.
Great movie. Great Pacific Rim. Though I will never forget seeing that first shot, or the shot where they fly up to the sky and they cut with the like arm blade.
Yes. Yes.
The thing in half, and it's like the sun is behind them, or the moon or something is like silhouetting them.
And it does that, swing sound. Yeah.
Ugh. Beautiful stuff. So we got a gameplay trailer, and it's coming out August 15th. So we're getting it very quickly, which is cool. And the blurb on what to expect from the game: a mysterious new substance called coral was discovered on the remote planet Rubicon 3 as an energy source. This substance was expected to dramatically advance humanity's technological and communications capabilities. Instead, it caused a catastrophe that engulfed the planet and the surrounding stars in flames and storms, forming a burning star system. Almost half a century later, coral has resurfaced on Rubicon 3, a planet now contaminated and sealed off by the catastrophe. Extraterrestrial corporations and resistance groups fight over control of the substance. The player infiltrates Rubicon as an independent mercenary and finds themselves in a struggle over the substance with the corporations and other factions. Very cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and the gameplay trailer looks sick. Armor Core's back. I played one of them on
PS2. Give me a VR mode.
Oh my
God. Let me go inside.
Yeah, okay. Plug me in.
Let me operate. Where is, like, that's, Tom, that's the what the simulator people need to start making is, like, make like mech simulator. Let me just get in a fucking mech and put me in like a destructible city and fight like Godzilla style monsters, but make them dumb, make them like people in the costumes, but still I would play that, Tom. If we could like battle, oh my God, what if we could go head to head in like a VR 3D rampage style game where we pick like mechs and kaiju and it's just like Rock'em Sock'em robots.
That would be cool. There was that one on PSVR 2 that was the octopus.
I have that. It's really fun.
But it's like a little puzzle yeah. game.
It's really fun, though. I do like picking people up and throwing them around and shit.
Cool.
Which, by the way, I just found out I might play Resident Evil 8 because I don't know if this is a bug or it's on purpose.
Yeah.
But if you play in VR and you throw the knife, it instantly reappears in your hand. And so apparently you can just keep throwing those knives. Like like you can instantly re-grab it from your sheath. And people are like, oh, that's great. I don't even use, like, even on bosses, they're just fucking throwing knives the entire time as fast as they can. Because it's better than any other weapon. And I'm like, wait, you get the knife like right away.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. Now I'm thinking about playing it just to try that out, because that sounds pretty sick. You're basically like Hela from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Oh. That was sick.
It's like you think you're from hell. Sick.
Welcome to hell. Yeah, I mean, that's the big news of the last week. Yeah. So everyone pray for Microsoft.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Hey, Tom, you want to hear a little voicemail?
Yeah, let's do it.
805-738-8692 or 805-RETUNIA to give us a call. He's back.
You know what's the most frequent lie told today? L-O-L. I don't think no one's laughing out loud. There's nothing funny about the world today or anything going on. Anytime you type L-O-L to someone, it means you definitely did not laugh. LOL is the opposite of what the fuck happened. Most frequent lie ever told. LOL. Suck it.
I can't wait for the book.
This is, this is one I think everyone knows, right? It's punctuation more than anything now. LOL.
Yeah,
you know, people will put that instead of a period at the end of a text. I'd rather see someone write LOL at the end of their text than a period.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's a vibe thing. It's just a vibe. It's just, this is what the vibe is. Is like, I give you permission to continue to talk to me.
Yes,
is what that is.
Now Therese complains about this sometimes because she'll send me something and I'll be in the same room as her and I'll be like, LOL, I'll send that back. She'll be like, but you didn't laugh. And I'm like,
the greatest lie ever told. You know, so
I'm like, but come on.
You know what is really funny? LOL was invented. We invented LOL, right? Our generation invented LOL.
Maybe. Yep, yeah, most likely.
It came out around the time of
most likely,
you know, the beginning of. Oh yeah, because like text and stuff.
It could have been ICQ and shit.
ICQ.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was like a text thing that predates like AIM.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
And like, well, let's forums.
When did LOL come out?
So it could be a Gen X thing.
God, of course, League of Legends is what fucking shows up. LOL. Okay, here we go. Roffle. No one says Roffle anymore.
No. Oh.
In the 1980s, Wayne Pearson was reportedly the first person to have used LOL while responding to a friend's joke in a pre-internet digital chat room called Viewline. Instead of writing ha ha ha, as he had done before when he found something humorous, Pearson instead typed LOL to symbolize extreme laughter. So there we go. Gen X.
Maybe most likely.
Even
could
Boomer.
Even,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, some fucking nerd.
Yeah. We still do have Lamau, right? We have Laugh My Ass Off still. Still gets thrown around. But
I'll
Ruffle,
do the ha-ha's if I get like a chuckle. If I do an actual out loud, that's when I type ha ha.
Yeah.
If I'm like actually like laughing now, I do the ah ha ha ha. I start
with
the A.
I see that from you. You give the capital A. Yeah.
That's when like I actually like I thought it was so funny that like I'm actually laughing. I'm not just even chuckling. Like if you get that from me. I think it was very funny.
I get some ha-ha-ha's.
Yeah.
But we don't really use Roffle anymore.
No, it's kind of dumb.
That's
I don't
done.
Need Rafflecopters either.
Oh, God, Rafflecopters. I haven't thought about those in a decade.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is LOL went out of vogue for a bit, it felt like. I felt like no one was... LOL was a little taboo.
This is also around the time... Like, also think about recently when they were like, oh, you don't use these emojis or that emojis. And it's basically just like... Gen Z people like fucking with millennials to make them insecure. And they
I felt like in college, but... like 10 years ago, like LOL was not cool. And then Gen Z actually brought it back. But then, yes, there was the whole debate of like, is it
I
even
think
cool?
Everyone, you know, there was this period of time with the millennials where they were told, like, we don't play with these things that you do when you're like a kid and you're supposed to get older. And then life sucked post-college and everyone said, you know what, I was happy. You know what, I was happy when I was a child.
Yeah.
And so now, because like, especially with like video games and a lot of pop culture things, those have always been like specifically like, oh, this is for kids, right? This is for kids. And like our generation is the first time we're like, no, like we're always going to play video games.
Children, yes.
We're always going to watch fucking animated stuff.
There was an interesting article I read the other month that was like how... Like, you know, back in the 80s and like 90s and early 2000s, the toy business was for children. There was no, outside of some niche markets of collectors, there, like, it was all for children. And now there is like a huge market for regular toys for adults. And it is interesting.
It's the same thing with theme parks. Often, that's actually. Like this Mario thing, in a way, is like that. And like the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and like Avatar, like making these ultra high, because kids don't need it, right? Their imagination can fill in the rest. Because when we were kids and we went to these places, they're not creating these fantastical, well-detailed worlds or anything. Kids can't appreciate that. So now it's all for us.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But the greatest lie ever told, LOL.
Yeah, that's the greatest lie ever.
That's the greatest lie ever told. So there we go.
All right, I got another voicemail.
Do we have any other? Okay, more voicemails. I wonder who it could be.
It's not Tuner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey guys, Unranked. It's like Mike. First off, that rang like 6 more times than I expected to, and I thought I was actually calling someone. But the phone number works, everyone. I was calling because I was. Wondering, one of you guys mentioned on last week's episode about it was when Alex was hearing himself through the voicemail, how he sounds like he's on a radio or something. So I was calling to see how I sounded on a radio or on the phone, so I can hear what I sound like when I'm talking to someone on the phone. And I didn't realize, but you know, we're using cell phones, so this is a digital message as opposed to a landline. Were those digital? Hang on. Hey, Google. Were phone lines, were landlines digital?
I can't tell if this is a bit.
They're analog.
Yep.
Phone lines are, the landlines are analog. All right, guys. Bye, Google. Okay, stop. Okay. All right, have a good night, guys. Suck it. See ya.
Digital. Oh my god.
We've definitely gotten like plenty. We've gotten joke emails and comments before, but I don't know. I think that's the first bit we've had.
That was a great bit. That was a great bit. You crushed it. I am ha-ha-ha-ing. Okay, it's an aha with a capital A at the top. This isn't just an LOL. That was great. I'm really curious to know if you actually needed to know whether landlines are analog or digital, but that was great.
That was.
Thank you for that. That was brilliant.
That was great. I do appreciate Tuna finally. I've been saying for years, Dan still hasn't taken me up on it, but I've always been like, well, if you're not on, like, watch the live show, join the comment section, or call it. I guess Tuna's, I mean, he basically hasn't been on because he's been working so much actually lately. So, and because we're doing our D&D show.
Yo, oh yeah, that's what we did. We did that on Sunday. We did the like first real installment of the Avatar Legend of the Four Nations campaign. I'll have to confirm, but we may or may not be doing their next installment this Sunday. But that's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Some exciting stuff in the next chapter, and the prologue breakout that I put on YouTube like has done better than any of the episodes of the
podcast.
That's
so funny.
So we're definitely going to be posting future installments there as well. So yeah, go check that out, youtube.com/unrankedpodcast, or if you want to watch live, twitch.tv/greatbritom. All the details on exactly when we're going to be streaming them, because I doubt it will be every week, in the Discord. So go check that out. Do we have any written in cues for the P?
No new question. Everyone, I got some DMs and they were like, listen, you guys are doing great work. No comments. No questions.
We're doing great work.
Keep it up. I think we should close out and do a little post show.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Well, see, I won't be here next week, but I'll be back after that. Maybe I'm gonna call in. I will leave a audio message to Tom. Send Tom an audio message, because the Google Voice is actually attached to my other email, not the podcast email, so you can't get that one. So yeah, I'll send you an audio message to let you know what I think about Jedi Survivor, because I'll be playing that.
Lovely. I love it.
Tom, where can the folks find you?
Great Britom on each and every platform. I'll actually be, if you want to get more Jedi Survivor content, I did Giant Bomb's quick look for the game.
Oh, cool.
Which will probably be out already by the time me and Jeff Grubb did it today, so it'll probably be out
That's
tomorrow.
Awesome.
So go check that out. Bunch of Survivor content on GameSpot that I put together. But yeah, and then come find the Avatar game on Twitch.
You know where we're at. Hit us up. Stay in rank. Tom.
Yeah. There hasn't been any more lost watching,
Tom.
Unfortunately.
Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sylvan
yeah.
said.
Oh, sorry. Suck it. Suck it. Sorry.